back on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci here, and we have got with us for another segment Sal Palantonio from ESPN. We're going to talk some playoffs now, Sal, the divisional round, and it starts Saturday. Baltimore Ravens at Denver Broncos. I look at this game and look at the rest of the whole postseason, and I say, is anybody going to beat the Broncos? And I don't think it's going to be the Ravens at Mile High.
It's a very difficult situation for the Ravens in this football game. There's no question about it. I covered the game on December 16th, the 34-17 drubbing by Peyton Manning and the Broncos at M&T Bank Stadium. And there's a reason why the Broncos are favored by 9 points in this game at Mile High on Saturday afternoon. They just dominated from both sides of the ball. They just dominated. I think the key number that everybody is forgetting in that game, and it's something that jumped out at me when I interviewed Peyton Manning after the game, Vic, and that is Peyton Manning in that game handed the ball off 45 times. He had 45 rushing attempts behind him in that game. It's the most times he has handed the football off in any football game in his professional career. They had a time of possession over 38 minutes in that game. The Ravens only had the ball 21 minutes and 36 seconds.
Right.
You know, so to me, now you're looking at a Peyton Manning who's got A, balance on offense, whereas he didn't really have that a lot of the time when he was in Indianapolis.
Right.
Two, he's got a top five scoring defense. They are fourth in the league in points allowed, 18 points a game. And at home, Vic, they're only giving up 16 points a game. So you put those two factors together, and I think the Broncos are in really good position. Now, people say, well, the matchup's a little bit different because on December 16th, the Ravens did not have linebacker Ray Lewis. They did not have their young linebacker, Donnell Ellerbe. Mm-hmm. They did not have strong safety, Bernard Pollard. And they did not have guard, Marshall Yanda. All of those players are playing in this game. Nevertheless, I just think it's a tough, tough out for the Ravens. I really do.
Yeah, and then when you throw Knowshon Moreno into the mix and give him a running game, give Peyton Manning a running game to have, that just makes it even scarier.
If Peyton Manning hands the ball off 40 times at Mile High on Saturday, the Ravens will go home losers.
Yeah, going to be very, very tough. Although, I will give this much. Joe Flacco throws the football well, and I think he can be effective. He was, against the Colts at least, throwing deep. But it's a different defense. It's a different circumstances being on the road. And the other guy, and it's interesting that Jim Caldwell has involved Ray Rice much more in this offense, right? I mean, that's a key trend change from Cam Cameron as offensive coordinator.
You know what, though? Ray Rice has had only one game in the playoffs where he was over 70 yards rushing. The one game against the New England Patriots, that 33-14 wild card win,
right,
3 years ago. One game only. And get this. Here's an interesting number, Vic. In his regular season career, Rice fumbles once every 230 touches. In his postseason career, he's now got 5 postseason fumbles. He fumbles the ball once every 29 touches.
Yeah.
That's not a good trend.
That's a horrible trend. Let's go to San Francisco, the Packers at 49ers. That's the late game on Saturday. Nobody's hotter, I guess, than Aaron Rodgers, I would say, unless it's Peyton Manning, I guess. But Aaron Rodgers playing as well as any quarterback could play through the second half of the season and now into the postseason. But this is another tough-out team because the 49ers, they have that defense.
Well, they do, and they're home, and they're rested, and I think those things are significant when you factor in this round of the playoffs. The Niners are, in my opinion, not well-rounded enough. I know they're running the ball better of late, but I don't know if they can run it enough against the Niners. And I think also the Packers' defense on the edges, you know, their outside linebackers, their corners, their safeties, I don't know if they're equipped enough to handle the Niners and their ability to run out of the pocket with their quarterback, Colin Kaepernick. The key to that game is they've got to keep Kaepernick corralled similarly to the way they did Joe Webb. And if they do that, they'll have a legitimate shot at winning the game. If Kaepernick is moving well and outside the pocket, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And as I look at this 49er team, that's the wild card for them, really, is Kaepernick. How, as a very young quarterback, as this rookie, does he handle this stage, this pressure? And I think he's shown at times he can handle it, but, you know, the reality could just hit him out there that I'm in the postseason, these are the Packers, that's Aaron Rodgers over there. And I know, you know, you could say, well, this kid didn't flinch in some other spots, but I think in some places he has. And I think you just, until he actually goes out there and plays, Sal, you just don't know.
You're right.
You know, that's just another X factor in this game. Sal Palantonio, ESPN, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as we break down the divisional round of the playoffs. Let's go to Sunday. Let's go to the Seahawks at Falcons. Seahawks, great story, Sal. You got to love the Seahawks story.
Well, it's a great story built on great matchups. You know, when you have a defense that leads the league in scoring, that's pretty good. Well, especially when you have so many young players. But they have speed at the linebacker position and speed in the secondary. And they match up well against the Falcons. I just have this gut feeling that this will be the game that Matt Ryan and Mike Smith and Tony Gonzalez finally win a playoff game. I just feel like at home, I like the way Mike Nolan has created a sense of urgency in his players on defense. I think they have enough on defense to handle Marshawn Lynch. I realize they've given up a lot of rushing yards, but I think they'll be focused on two things. One, stopping the run. Two, keeping Russell Wilson in the pocket. And if they do those two things, I think they win the game.
Well, and that's the part of the story that I felt or feel is so fascinating is Russell Wilson, what he's done. He's so amazingly poised and mature. There's something about him, the way he carries himself compared to all the other rookie quarterbacks. And as impressive as Andrew Luck has been in his postseason appearance, or well, I mean, what in getting to the postseason, not so much the game itself, they lose, but and then RG3 and it's health with him, it's that knee. But I just, there's something about it, there's an aura with Russell Wilson, right? And he just seems to carry, and then the way he plays indicates that he's much more versed in this game than that of any other rookie. He seems like a guy who's been in the league for many years.
Yeah, he does have some poise and grace to him under pressure. And oh, by the way, he's got a good arm.
Yeah, that too. If you take the other stuff's great, but it's only helpful because he can throw the ball well while moving, and it's a fairly,
he's accurate with the ball, and his ball's got a lot of velocity.
Yeah,
you know, a very tight spiral, but a very accurate ball. You know, and That's gonna do a lot for you.
And I think though, and I like your points about the Falcons. I don't disagree that they could come around. I just worry about their ability to deal with Marshawn Lynch because he puts it in another gear in this postseason, and he's runs with a vengeance and a passion. He seems very comfortable with what he's doing and how he's complementing the things that Russell Wilson and the passing game do.
Yep, I would agree with that completely.
And then the later game on Sunday, Houston Texans at New England Patriots. And
we don't have to talk about.
I don't think
game,
we have
Vic.
To talk about this because the Texans. What, you know, I was tempted to say I don't know if I wanted to advance either of those teams from that wild card game.
You know what's really interesting? You know, I started fishing around. I called my guy Frankie Smiles down on 2 Street in South Philly. I said, Frankie, I said, give me the last time you had 2 teams in a divisional round in the same conference, both favored by 9 points or more.
Yeah.
And so he fumbles around a little bit. He goes, let me get back to you on that. Ding, 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 couple minutes later. Never happened before. I'm like, really? He goes, yeah. I said, wow, that's not good. He goes, no, that's not good. He said, those 2 games, you can give the points. I was like, oh, okay, all right. Not that I'm a betting man, but, I like to I think those kinds of trends, those guys who set those point spreads know what they're doing. So I always like to investigate, just the situation. No, let me put it this way. Those 2 spreads
yeah.
were not created to put the money on either team. In other words, to create wagering in Vegas. Those are accurate spreads.
I just love Frankie Smiles, the name. It's the best name
well,
in the world.
Well, sometimes I go Joe Vito. Sometimes I go Fat Tony. When I want the straight stuff with no sauce, I go right to Frankie Smiles.
See, the people don't – many who know you just as an ESPN sports guy, football guy, know that many years ago you covered City Hall and News and stuff in Philly. And you dealt with some characters other than the sports characters you've dealt with.
I know where the bodies are buried. All right, Vic, I got to run. I got to do a couple of shows here at NFL Films. Good visiting with you.
You're the best.
Let's do it at the Super Bowl.
Outstanding. We will. That's a date. He is Sal Palantonio, ESPN, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. More coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.